Chapter 6. The Village in the Mountains. It was Brother Anselm's idea. He proposed it at breakfast, the cripple munching toast. He was due at a village up in the mountains that afternoon. Would the other like to come too? There was a view he wanted him to see. There was something else he wanted him to see as well. He would send for a car. The cripple said he was all on. He looked amazingly happy after the crisis of the previous day. At night, when the monk had lifted him into bed, he had ventured, rather shyly, "I suppose I ought to start saying some prayers. I haven't done it since I was a kid. What exactly does one do?" "Talk to God in your own way." "But I'm such a rotten blackguard." "Tell him that for a start," Brother Anselm had replied. They set off soon after the midday meal, the stretcher part of the ambulance, with the cripple inside, and the rest of it on the back of the car. "Looks like a traveling circus," he observed. The road wound its way up and up through the rocky passes, the car climbing slowly, Brother Anselm's order. Cripple was not to be jolted. From his stretcher, he watched the pageantry of nature passing by, strangely and newly alive to the beauty of it all. Great phalanxes of pines patching the road with shadows of purple-gray. Sudden vistas through the clefts of giant cliffs, or the way would open out into a basin in the mountains, meadowed and radiant with alpine flowers of every hue, smiling their thanks to the sun that brought them forth. Here, too, the oxen grazed, white and sleek and solemn-eyed, ringing with the music of their bells, that sound of sounds, the haunting melody of the mountains. They mounted steadily, the air growing keener every mile, and at length the village was gained. It was the highest on the Italian side of the Alps. The car drove up to the entrance of a café. The cripple was again placed on his ambulance, and Brother Anselm straightaway proceeded to wheel him off down the street. "What's this? Sort of trot round?"
"You wait," said the monk.
The cripple noticed a church ahead and people standing about. The children among them saw Brother Anselm coming, waved, and rushed to meet him. They kissed his hand reverently one by one, and then, clinging to his habit and trotting alongside, began buzzing questions altogether. "Who was the signore? Why was he in bed like that? Was he inglese?" Brother Anselm told them, and why he lay like that. The cripple knew enough Italian to follow some of what was said. The rest he guessed, for a hush had fallen on the children. One little girl ventured to his side and studied him, big-eyed and open-mouthed. She announced that he had beautiful fair hair, and told him her name was Innocente. Then she stroked his hand with her own little brown one, and asked him when he would get better. "Would you like to be inside the church while I am giving benediction?" Brother Anselm saved him. "Rather," said the cripple, wondering what benediction was. They were in front of the church now. A man, a rough peasant, came forward hat in hand from the greeting crowd. Would the prete let him take charge? It appeared he was the father of Innocente. He wheeled the ambulance through the open door inside and stationed the cripple at the back, facing the altar. Brother Anselm departed to the sacristy. The cripple looked about, in a state of amazement. The whole village was here, the great church filled from end to end. Men, women, and children all silent on their knees, or sitting meditatively. Dogs lay about, curled up in content. One, a latecomer, proceeded to establish itself beneath the ambulance. There was a baby close by, rolling about on the floor in an endeavor to stand on its head. An unsuccessful effort landed it by one of his wheels. The baby gurgled with glee at the find, clutching at the spokes, and began a new series of acrobatics. At the altar, two small boys in red were lighting endless candles, the twinkling flames shedding a golden glory down the nave. Benediction began. The cripple watched. That must be Brother Anselm, the priest far off at the altar. He was wearing some curious clothes. He was placing something high up amongst the candles. The peasants sang. How they sang! The sonorous chant swung and swayed up and down, on and on. They seemed to be all looking at the candles. Was it the candles? No, they were looking at what Brother Anselm had placed there. He wondered what it was. What could it be? It was as if they were looking at somebody. There was love burning in their eyes. Suddenly, his intuition told him that God was present to these people. The ever-absent God, the atheist's sneer came back. Absent? But he was here. He was with them. The very way they knelt told him that. Their very attitude, their intense awareness. It couldn't be like that with a God who was absent. This was someone they knew to be intimately present, someone they were talking to. A bell sounded. There was a hush. They were all bowing their heads. Brother Anselm had turned round, holding something in his hands. The cripple remembered that he was a rotten blackguard. Brother Anselm had said, yes, he would do so. It was quite a procession that trooped back with the ambulance to the cafe. A tiny boy, all braces and breeches, insisted on pulling in front. The little girl, Innocente, secured the cripple's hand. "Cut you out this time!" he called back at Brother Anselm. Revenge came swiftly. The monk whispered something in the little girl's ear. She hesitated coyly for a moment, finger in mouth. The ambulance stopped. Then she stood on tiptoe and gave the cripple a resounding kiss on the cheek. "When you two have finished billing and cooing," said Brother Anselm to the blushing victim, "we're going to have coffee and cakes." Adios were waved, and the ambulance passed into the cafe garden.